Good morning to you. Why don't we take a time this morning to pray? We have a new member of the congregation this morning. Did you know that?
It's all going to the girls.
It's all going to the girls these days, huh?
Can have a girl too.
Huh? Was that supposed to be announced this morning? It's okay. Oh, it's on Facebook? Okay, then. That does it.
And so, relatively safe.
So somebody tell me the names of Darren and Kristen's.
Isabella Grace.
Isabella Grace. And do you know how many pounds?
Or? Lois knows. 8 pounds.
8 pounds, 12 and a half ounces. Glory to God. And are there any others? 8 pounds, 12 and a half ounces, and that's it, eh? Okay, praise God. And so let's pray for them this morning.
Hallelujah. And thank you, Jesus.
Father, it's just so good to be here in your house this morning. We love you. Oh, how we love you. We're here because we love you, Lord. We're here because we want more of you. Lord, we lift this little child to you this morning, Lord God, figuratively at least this morning, but from the depth of our hearts, we would say and speak and pray over this little one, health, wholeness, soundness, Lord God. We thank you that this little family, Lord, in its increase, is prepared to receive by the Holy Ghost of God this little one, and to love and to nurture her all the days of her life. And Father, we join together as a congregation to say, we want to help. We want to be a part of that this morning in Jesus' name. Lord God, thank you, thank you, thank you that there's healing and wholeness here in this place this morning. And we speak over those that require a healing on their lives. And we speak healing into their lives this morning in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Lord God, we want more of you. We want more understanding of your word. We want more revelation this morning, Lord God. And so, Father, thank you that we can have it in Jesus' name. And we look for a move of the Holy Spirit of God in this house this morning, in every life, Lord God, today. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you that we'll have it in the name of Jesus by the Spirit of God. As we pray, amen. Amen. Well, last week, I began to speak to you a little bit about the what? The fear of the Lord. And this morning, I want again to touch the fear of the Lord. I spoke some things last week that I felt like were not well proven by the Word of God yet. And so some of what I wanted to do this morning is to take us to the Word of God in most of these areas and touch it. And so I hope that you are prepared for lots of scripture this morning. Trying to open my electronics even as we go here this morning and put on my electronic glasses. I want us to begin with Isaiah this morning in chapter 33 in verses 5 and 6. And I'm going to be in the NIV for this particular scripture. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. I want us to continue to find in Scripture how important the fear of the Lord is to God. There are certain things that we have taken for granted as Christians over the years. That is, we'll read a statement and we'll say, oh, that's ours, and take hold of it. But I want us to see this day, more than anything else, that there are a number of things in the Scripture that are ascribed only to the fear of the Lord. And that if the fear of the Lord is not present in our lives, then some of the things that we've taken for granted are not ours. We'll prove that by Scripture as well. It's important for us to know that God wants us to have a holy fear for Him. Yes. And that's always been. I'm not introducing something new. I'm introducing something that God has spoken from the very beginning. This may not be really popular to some people. To think that someplace along the way, God has been waiting on us to enter into a holy fear of God. And that as some of us took the holy fear of God for granted, that we thought, oh, well, we're born again. We're Christians, therefore we have a holy fear of God. He says no. He says He's waiting for us to enter into that. And so as we go along this morning, some of you are looking at me kind of askance this morning. You're kind of looking at me like, where is He coming from? The Scripture. That's where I'm coming from. And God's making some demands on our faith these days. He's making some demands on us to move to another quarter, if you like, of the things that He wants. And not only wants, demands from us. I think that in today's world, we hear things like this. They almost sound like God is a sugar daddy for us. That there He is up in heaven, and all He wants to do is bless us. I think that it's important for us to see and hear that He wants to bless us, those who have entered in to the fear of the Lord. And I also want to tell you this, that, and this is for your fun, and you ought to enjoy this if you like to study the Word of God, that I now have more than 50 pages of notes that have to do with the fear of God and the love of God and their connection together. And I said all that to say this to you, that He speaks more about this than most other things. He wants us in the fear of the Lord. And it's important to Him. So important that He doesn't just suggest it. He commands it. And so let's continue in the Scripture a little bit this morning to cover some of the things that we have spoken last Sunday. And this one we're going to go into Leviticus 4 and chapter 10 and verse 3. And this is how it reads. By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. I want to read it one more time. By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. The word holy and holiness and the word glorified and all of that connect with the fear of the Lord. And I'll hopefully be able to bring that to you so that it's properly understood as we go along even yet today. I would put the word over this particular scripture, I would put the word reverenced. And so I would say it like this, if it was me writing it, I'm not trying to rewrite the Bible, but if it was me, for my own understanding, I'd say, God's saying I must be reverenced. And the word reverence and the word fear are also one and the same in the Bible. When you go to the word for the fear of the Lord, you'll find, if you go to a concordance or whatever, that the word reverence is part of the meaning of the fear of the Lord. And I want to make a bold statement here. This one is something that keeps popping up to me as I go along. And so I want to say it like this. The Lord never comes where He's not reverenced. Let's back up again into Leviticus for just a minute to prove out what I'm saying to you today. Leviticus 10:3, By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. If you're going to get near to the Lord, can I say it like that? By those who come near me. If you're going to get near to the Lord, you must reverence him. The Lord never comes where he is not reverenced. Let us then go to Psalms chapter 34 and verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. We have believed for years that we are a people that are absolutely brought all things, that we are, I'm looking for a word, the word's escaping me right now, so let me say it like this. How many believe that God wants you to be absolutely, or I'm looking for the same word again. Bottom line is your needs ought to be met. Your wants ought to be met. This God of ours, he's not holding anything back. He's waiting on us so that he can deliver to us what he planned to deliver from the beginning. Prosperity. He's a God that wants our prosperity, but he wants it through the fear of the Lord. Yeah. The connection is always the fear of the Lord. Yeah. And so, no fear, no prosperity. Yeah. We've got to connect the dots someplace along the line. And so we're going to have to come to a place as Christians where we understand this fear of the Lord stuff by his Spirit. The understanding does not come only by us giving you a definition, which we'll do, but the fear of the Lord and the understanding of all of that is a spiritual thing. And you're going to connect to your prosperity through your spirit. That's where the connection is. And so, hey, all I'm doing is reading the word to you, and but I want you to hear it more and more and more and more. Where the Lord is reverenced, his presence manifests. Where the Lord is reverenced, his presence manifests. I like that. And where his presence manifests, needs are met. I found that in a concordance, and I liked it so much I've got it written all over the place. I want to just say it one more time, okay? Where the Lord is reverenced, his presence manifests. And where his presence manifests, needs are met. And of course, there are many scriptures that say the same thing, but they're not necessarily pointing us to and allowing us to see what's important, the fear of the Lord. Let's go also to Ecclesiastes in chapter 12 and verse 13. It says this, let us hear the conclusion of this whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. That's what it's all about. Fearing God. Fearing God means that you'll obey his word. Proverbs chapter 33 and verse 17, 23, excuse me, in verse 17. Be zealous, be passionate for the fear of the Lord all the day. In other words, it's all about the fear of the Lord. It's all about that. This is not some secondary thing along the way. I'm just reading the word to you this morning. So hear it. Be zealous. How many know what a zealot is? Somebody who goes all the way. Somebody who will take this and run with it. Somebody who wants God so bad. So, I bet that's the wrong word. Somebody who wants God so much that they'll reverence him. Somebody who wants God to the greatest degree so that they'll find the fear of the Lord. I found this saying and I liked it. I wrote it down. Well, that's not true. I typed it. It says this: the fear of God includes, but is not limited to, respecting and reverencing him. For we are told to tremble at his presence. Holy fear gives God the place of glory, honor, and reverence, thanksgiving, and praise, and preeminence that he deserves. I need you to notice this. It's what he deserves, not what we think he deserves. It's what he deserves. He says so, not we. He says so. And it continues. God holds this preeminent position in our hearts and lives as we esteem his desires over and above our own, hating what he hates and loving what he loves, trembling in his presence and at his word. And then flowing out of that, I wanted to say this. You will serve whom you fear. You will serve whom you fear. If you fear God, you'll serve him. If you fear man, you'll serve man. Yeah. Choose. Yeah. Choose. Again, to repeat that, you'll serve whom you fear. If you fear God, you're going to serve God. If you fear man, you'll serve man. You must choose. We must all choose. It's a matter of life or death. Then I want to take us to some areas of Scripture that show us what the benefits are of operating in the fear of God. The first thing that happens is that the fear of God positions our hearts to receive answers. Hebrews 5 and verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and fears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. There are so many benefits here, but I'm going to grab a few so that you recognize that these things come out of godly fear. They're benefits of us participating in godly fear. And so, the blessings of fearing God, one of them is that it declares that God's great goodness abounds. From Psalms chapter 31 and verse 19, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, when you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. For those who fear you, whom you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. The blessings of fearing God, one of them is it secures God's continual protection. From Psalms chapter 33 and verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. Hear it all. This is the rest of the scripture on those who hope in his mercy. Behold, the eye of the Lord. We saw a picture up here, and we talked about the eye of the Lord already this morning, but hear how big this is for us. The eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him. We have thought in the past, in the general Christian community, that the eye of the Lord is on all who have asked Him into their hearts, all who are saved. I want to say to you that He's speaking to people who are saved, but expecting those same people to fear Him, that they've made a decision to fear Him. And out of that holy fear, the eye of the Lord is continuously on them. It says it more than once in the Word, but that's what I chose for this morning. I want to also say this to you. One of the blessings of fearing God is God's continuous protection. One of the benefits is it applies His provision. Psalms 34, verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. Psalms 34, 9 up. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. I say that to myself over and over and over again because it's so important to me. For I've come to understand that our supply, our provision, all that God wants for us flows through the fear of the Lord. It flows through the fear of the Lord. So let me read it off the board again for you this morning. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. In other words, it's a commandment, and when we do that, there will be no want. What are you wanting this morning? What's your desire this morning? Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. There is no want to those who fear Him. Oh boy, I've brought so many of them to the pulpit here this morning. There's so much to do with all of this that I can hardly contain myself in it to finally come to that place where I can connect some dots here. Dots that I've been looking forward to connecting for all these years of ministry. And all of a sudden, to have something open in front of me that's so big. I took it for granted that I feared the Lord because I was saved. I took it for granted that I feared the Lord because I read about it all the time. And then one day, the Lord opened the Word to me. And He said, "You don't fear Me just because you asked Me into your heart. This is a part of our existence together," God said to me. God said to me, "I want to open before you what the fear of the Lord really is. I want you, son, to come to that place where you absolutely fear Me." It's bigger and bigger and bigger daily in me. The pull to, the desire to, the want to fear Him in everything. Trust is involved in that, but it's not all it is. Respect is involved in that, but it's not all it is. Love is connected to that, but it's not all it is. I want us to come to a place where we so fear the Lord. I hope you're not disconnecting from me right now. I hope you're not saying, "Well, don't make such a big deal out of this," because it is a big deal. It's a really big deal. To God, it's everything. That we fear Him. He was talking to me the other day. I had a friend of mine from Saskatoon speaking to me, and it was a disturbing phone call. And the reason for it was is that he was announcing to me he was getting divorced. He's a man that, well, what happened the other night? We were in a restaurant in Saskatoon, and a good friend of mine walked over and hadn't seen him for years and years. And we shook hands again and just had a few words together. But then he decided to, he got from somebody my cell number, and he called me after all these years. And he said, Glenn, it was really good to see you in the restaurant the other night. He said, in the past, we've been really good friends. And then when you went to Prince Albert, things kind of changed. But he said, I just love you, but I want you to know that me and my wife, we've been separated now for some time, and we're getting a divorce. You know what? It shocked me. It in the world's vernacular, it blew my mind. And he said, I know that God wants me to be happy. It's all about, this is what I heard, not exactly what he said, but I heard it's all about him being happy the world's way. Yet I knew the word said that God hates divorce. Yeah. I thought, we do that about a lot of things as Christians. This divorce thing, it blew my mind just because of an old relationship that I had with them and all of that. But it was worse than that. It was that he decided that, and they had decided that after all those years of marriage, that they hadn't been particularly happy. They didn't do the things that they used to do together, and they didn't find happiness together in the same things as they used to. But God wanted them happy. They had decided, and they were getting a divorce. But ringing in my ear was God saying, I hate divorce. And I thought, that's not fearing God. Fearing God would have said, we're going to work at this marriage. We're going to work at the vows that we spoke before God. We're going to deal with the word. God, we so fear you. We know that you made marriage for blessing. Yes. We know that it was all about that. And for us to say, we're not going to stay in this marriage, we're going to marry another. For this guy had already lived now for months with another. I thought, oh, if he could just catch. But the fear of the Lord is in this situation. The fear of the Lord is to obey the Lord. I said, did you pray about it? I was kind of deflated, you know. I said, did you guys pray about this? Oh, yeah, but we know God wanted us to be happy. And then a lot of things flooded my mind. Just, I don't know, my mind, my spirit, it was big, you know. It was like, well, all the things that we do, almost as if saying, well, God won't mind. We know his word says this, but God won't mind. He wants us to be happy. So we'll do this. And I realized, we've missed the boat. There's so many areas in our lives that we think God won't mind. And he says, all of my plans for you, and all of my blessings for you, and all I am to you, it's connected to you fearing me. And I wrote my word so you would know what to fear.
Can I say something?
Sure. When she comes up, when she says, can I say something? I always wonder if she's going to preach at me.
No.
Because she does that at home all the time.
You know, when you have a child, those of you who are parents, when you have a child and they become adults, they're, when you see them make choices and decisions that are not good decisions, but they've made their mind up and they don't ask for any counsel, they don't ask for any wisdom. You know what? You love them anyway. And, but you, there is a process where you love them anyway, way, but you know. You know that the decisions and the pathway that they have chosen is not going to take them into blessing. And you know what? God loves us.
He loves us.
But we presume to think that he's also going to protect us from all the consequences and the decisions that we've made. And he can't, because he stands by his word. His word remains forever, but he is bound by principle. He's bound by his word. And, you know, I keep reminding myself that is the most wonderful thing that God gave us was our own self-will. But, you know, when we make decisions that go contrary to his word, you know, it's just, it's like the parent who watches the child. We love them anyway, but we have to stand and watch the consequences and watch the pathway that they've taken.
Praise the Lord. He does love us, doesn't he? He laid some things out in his word that are so important for us, that he commands on us so that we'll have what he desires for us.
That's right. It's a better way.
Did you know that because of the fear of the Lord, he promises angelic protection? But a lot of us assumed because we were saved, we had angelic protection. Psalms 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers him. Another thing that comes out of the fear of the Lord is that it secures God's continual attention. Psalms 33:18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy. Here's the provision one that I love, and it's up again, and I keep bringing it back in. Psalms 34:9. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There's no want to those who fear him. Again, it contains great mercy. I hope I'm not making you uncomfortable today, but if it does, some of us may want to get before God. We may ask God to deliver us or draw us into the fear of the Lord. Psalms 103 and verse 11. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Wow. Provides assurance of food. Psalms 111 and verse 5. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Is it making any mark on our lives to consider that we are called of God to fear him? Can it be? When I said earlier that what I want to do is connect some dots for you, as God has connected them for me, that a lot of what we do as Christians today is out of what we think. It's kind of like saying, I know what the word says, but I think. And going ahead and doing what we think, never mind what his word says about it. I'm not trying to be hard on anybody. I just know there's another step There's something else that God wants for us to step out in. I'm not trying to be religious. I don't want to be religious in this. I just want us to have what God wants for us. Not trying to batter you with this thing. I'm trying to take you to someplace. There were years as a Christian that I would say, I know God's word says this, and I speak it, and I believe it, but somehow I'm not connecting to it like I should. I would see others stepping out in it and walking in it and receiving what God had to say, and I wasn't connecting there. And I realized, finally, there's something missing here in me. There's something I'm not doing. There's something I'm not walking in. Because so-and-so's... I remember a time, I had a friend, we were both in the ministry together, both on staff at Christian Center, and I would watch him time after time get blessed, even when we'd prayed the same thing, even when we'd been had gone through the same kind of thing, kind of like testing, sort of. But he'd get blessed and I wouldn't. And I'd almost be mad at God. I'd go, Lord, why did he get that? And I didn't. I had a kind of a works mentality, so I'd kind of say to God, God, you know what? I worked longer than he did last week, and I did this, and I did that, and I did that, and he got that, and I didn't. And it was kind of like almost a jealousy, you know, that would settle on the inside of me. I know it's not nice, but I'm telling on myself, but nevertheless, it's true. And then finally, when I watched it time and time and time, I mean a lot of times, I'd realize, wait a minute. There's something missing. This isn't a God deal. This is a Glenn deal. There's something missing in Glenn here. There's something Glenn doesn't do. There's something Glenn's not connected to. And I realized even then that I was doing God's word Glenn's way. And there were a whole lot of us doing it Glenn's way. I realized that the fear of the Lord, even bigger recently, is the fact that not only is it God's word, but it's got to be done God's way. Yeah. The fear of the Lord. If fear is also respect, then if I were talking to you and you said something to me, and if I respected you, I'd probably take what you said and believe on it and do it. If I didn't respect you, I wouldn't. Is that true? So then now I realize that way back there, the connection was that I was doing God's word. I knew what God's word said, but I was doing it Glenn's way. And that's not the fear of the Lord. I hate to say it, but that comes pouring out like, that's the fear of Glenn. That's the fear of man, which doesn't make all needs be met, which doesn't take us to that place that God wants us to be in. Oh my. I wonder how many of us do the word of the Lord our way, or think God won't mind if we don't do his word. We'll just do it this way. I know the Bible says that, but that was Old Testament. I hear that, pastors hear that quite a bit. I know the word says that, but it's Old Testament. I got to say to you, it's still his word.
Yes, it is.
Old Testament stuff? Still his word. Did he change his word? Did he say, oh, that Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that's so old, we're canceling that now. And remember, we're also over in the New Testament now, which is a better covenant, right? So we'll cancel all that. Did he say that?
No.
No, he didn't. He didn't say it at all. In fact, Genesis is a book of beginnings. What he gave us in Genesis, he works out through all the rest of the word. He gave us a more powerful way of doing it. He gave us grace. Yeah. Glory to God to work it out. But nevertheless, his word is his word is his word. And I cannot in my life make an excuse and say, that's Old Testament. Let's have a look at what the New Testament says. Because the New Testament echoes the Old. Hello. So I guess what I'm saying this morning, there is so much, there's just a huge result of bringing our lives into line with the Word of God, with God and His will, by His grace, that'll connect the dots to what He has for us. And it's not funny. It's the only thing. Connect love. The love of God, and connect the fear of the Lord, and you have something so big, something so huge. A couple more here. You know that divine protection stuff? Now let's look in Psalms 115, verse 11. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He's their help and their shield. Is that something else? Here's one, Psalms 145 and verse 19. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. Here's another one, Proverbs chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. The fear of the Lord. We're connecting dots now. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. For the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. The Bible, it just rolls. The more I read the Word of God, the more the fear of the Lord comes off the pages. And I begin to realize, wow, this thing is so big in Him. Wow. Proverbs 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He'll not be visited with evil. Proverbs 22 and verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Wow. It continues. There's just something on the inside of me for you. I can't drop it. I can't leave it. Everything I pray, everything I do, everywhere God takes me, he continuously talks to me about the fear of the Lord, and I know it's for all of us. It's that place we need to go. It's that big, giant step forward that's going to take us where he wants us to be. It's not him saying, you know, if you like, fear me. It's him saying, do that, and I'll do this. Do that, and these things you've been believing for all of these years, they're yours. There's not anything as far as one day. It was late last night. I sat down, and I knew I was going to talk on the fear of the Lord this morning. And I just began to list the things that he said would be ours. Just one, I was doing it one word at a time. The things that he said he'd do, the things that he said he'd supply, the things that he said would be our relationship, who we were together, me and God, just by me fearing him and everything. And I was amazed. Because the fear of the Lord connects to everything that's God, to everything he promised us. It all connects to what God wants for our lives. I was this morning going to take us a little different direction, but I want to, the next time I get to preach, I want to talk about being a friend of God. Because you're not a friend of God if you're not in the fear of God. So, you know, we sing songs. I am a friend of God. We take the scripture and we see that God wants us to be friends. But the next time we're together, I want us to see how. Exactly how do we get to be a friend of God? Because just because you're saved doesn't mean you're a friend of God. Just because you're spirit-filled doesn't mean you're a friend of God. He explicitly tells us in his word that you get to be a friend of God by obeying him, by doing his word his way. And he's very much into his, it's my way of doing things, folks. He's very much into that. That's the God I serve. Years ago, I learned not to decide to do God's way my way. Not to do God's will, his word, my way. I've said that to you already this morning, but it's so big for most of us. It's still in Christendom, if you like. It's still in people who love God to say, I know the word says this, but he loves me and he'll understand. The favorite saying in Christendom is, I know what the word of God says, but he knows my heart. Well, he does. He knows your heart. That may be the problem. Maybe the problem. Is this a tough word? Yes, in the way that it means we need to go back to the word. We need to go back to God. We need to go back to fearing God in everything. If we'll fear God, if we'll quit the excuses and stop deciding that God loves us anyway and he knows our hearts, and just decide we need to know his, we'll have life God's way. And oh, life God's way is so wonderful. That's what we need. Not God knows my heart. What he needs, when he needs to know my heart, he knows, he needs to know that my heart is totally after him. Not anything else and not the world's way. Totally after him. Yes? It'll mean change. Nobody likes change. Everybody's talking about change these days, but they don't like it when it comes. Fear me, says the Lord, and I will. Fear me, says the Lord, and I'll do. Fear me, says the Lord, and you'll have. Fear me, says the Lord, and you'll be protected. On and on and on it goes. fear me, a commandment from Almighty God. Well, I love you. I hope it's a trust relationship that you have with God in the way that you will hear what he has to say and begin to travel through the word on your own accord and search out scriptures that speak about the love of God, the love of the Lord, because there are so many, and he'll connect the dots for you. And what's really neat that I'll save for next time says this: if you will fear me, I'll show you how to fear me. He literally puts it out there and says, here's the fear of the Lord. Here's how you do it. And he begins, it rolls out of him, and it's in his word. Here's how you fear me. Sometimes we ought to take the word that comes from the pulpit, even in this house, and follow through with study on our own. Because you know what? You can't fear God and not study his word. And it's not big enough to just get his word when you come to church. It's not big enough. He expects, the fear of the Lord expects you to fear him enough to hear him, to study his word, to take it in and hear him tell you, here's how you do it. Because he'll tell you every time. Let's pray again. Let's just bow our heads all over the room this morning. And let's talk to God about what we've heard this morning. Heavenly Father, I want to know more about fearing you. I want it to be so big and so huge in my life. Lord, I want the word to be the only thing. I want your will and your way of doing things to be all in all. Oh God. I need a revelation, Lord God, bigger than I have, about your will and your way of doing things. Lord, take me out of my sin. When I ask you to take me out of my sin, it's what I need, Lord God, is for you to show me where I've accepted man's way of doing the word and not the Lord's way. I'm right here in front of these people, Lord God, as I pray, and I'm asking you to, well, Lord, I'm repenting. It's a beginning of repentance in my life. I repent, Lord God, of not always doing your word your way. Lord, I'm sorry. I ask your forgiveness today. And those who will would pray the same here this morning so that we can enter into the fear of the Lord. And oh, Lord, I want to be known by you as a friend of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you all.